Artistic Whispers Productions presents...
Crudrat, Book 1 of The Tinkered Stars. Written by Gail Carriger. Performed by J. Daniel Sawyer. Featuring the vocal talents of... Dorothy Gallagher, Nathan Lowell, Wendell H. Wilson, Vanessa Applegate, Stephen H. Wilson, Kitty Nakian, Dave Robison. And starring Veronica Jaguer as Mara, with original music by Danny Shade. This story is intended for all audiences. Dedication. To the readers and listeners, thank you. Chapter 1. The wheel turns, and True Scion sit its blades lightly and close to the center. But those who are ciphers ride far to the edge. There, it is easy to fall off. From Claudice's advice to young progenitors. Shink! The huge blade rotated towards her head, so close as to slice the top off right quick. Just there, above the ears. The blue-tinged metal was heavy and sharp enough to do it, too. Bone wouldn't slow it one jot. Mara ducked, leaped into a forward flip, and landed in a runner's crouch on the other side of the blade. One knee came down too far and too hard, hitting the crusted tunnel floor. Sharp pain ran up her leg to her hip. Worse by far, her knee made a loud, metallic clang. She froze, blood icy and muscles all a-quiver.
Now I've done it. Gone and dented the tunnel like some pinky on first run.
She tipped her head, as though she could hear through the whir of the blades.
As though anyone could hear.
Had Foreman noted the knee down?
He'll kill me deader than space dross if I damage the Skyther. Well, perhaps not that dead. Too messy. Hates messes, does Foreman. But the smallest dent will see my license pulled, that's for certain sure.
She reached up and touched the cord that held her run tag round her scrawny neck. There it hung, rank and file, the chip strung on tight and tucked safely down the front of her vest. No recall alarm sounded. No angry shout rent the rushing air.
Not to hear but the whir of blades.
Shink, shink, shink.
Best keep moving, then.
Mara slid to one side, still berating herself.
Letting me touch floors will write up certain stupid mistake.
Mistakes in a Skyther got a girl killed, and dying bladeside? Now that really was messy. She was getting big and sloppy. She shook her head at herself and dashed forward, keeping low. Shink! This time a blade came in at her from the side.
And getting right up old and slow to go with.
She lunged to the left, spinning up and bouncing off the tunnel wall with one foot. Every blade that came whirring in stacked the odds up against her. Half her life spent crud ratting, and she was almost... what? She frowned, thinking hard.
3 and 10?
It hurt her noggin to calculate the number of cycles. Pastime always hurts when it's been frittered away running blades and begging for scraps from high stocks. Too old to keep running. Crud rats mostly went in for the dying young.
Move.
She shifted her weight and dashed up the opposite side of the tunnel until she was parallel to the floor. At the same time, she snaked out with her scraper, scooping out crud from behind a higher blade where it met the wall. She tipped the long spoon over her shoulder and heard a little slurp as the murmur riding her swallowed happily. She felt whiskers tickle her neck as he snuffled about to see if he'd dropped any crud on her in his enthusiasm. Shink. Shink.
Lower blade.
Mara pushed herself off the wall and jumped to the opposite side of the tunnel. She twisted in midair, landed between two blades, and rebounded into a backwards flip.
Breathe,
she told herself firmly. Running the Skyther always worked best when she timed her breathing to the blades. It was one of the tricks that had turned her from a good crud rat into the best one portside. Another blade spun out. Mara leaped forward, curved aside, and balanced against the opposite wall, ending halfway up with her back to it, elbows and knees bent. She sucked in her stomach as the blade passed. Not that there was much to suck. Mara had intimate familiarity with all her ribs. Never was a time when she wasn't hungry. Sliding down the wall, scraper out, she culled crud from behind the lower blade and fed it over her shoulder to the mermel. The mermel made a funny purring noise as it ate. A lightly acrid smell wafted through the air. Upper blade, near haircut, and she already wore her blue hair cropped as short as could be.
Curse my bones, I'd be getting too tall for this game on top of aught else.
Mara ducked. The mermel wrapped his long blue tail more firmly about her waist and chittered in her ear in a way Mara was sure he meant as reassuring.
Breathe.
The mermel's chitter became high-pitched in alarm as a blade swished too close to her back, and thus his.
Space it. What's wrong with me this shift? Usually I never let him closer than an implant at prototype.
Mara backflipped over the blade, dodged to the side, and vaulted off the wall forward using one foot, protecting the mermel but keeping her speed up. She scooped with the same movement and passed the ladleful of crud to the hungry beastie on her back. A loud animal shriek echoed through the Skyther tunnel. It threw her next leap off. She stumbled, missing blade cut by a hand's breadth.
Tell your wild relations to go easy. Don't they have not quiet to speak?
Mara addressed to her fuzzy blue companion. The mermel ignored her, intent on digesting its latest scoop of crud. She'd no worries the wild mermels might interfere with her run. Sure, they were mighty tempted by the massive crud deposits in the Skythers, but the wild ones weren't stupid enough to face blades for it. If they were, Mara'd be out of a job. Shink.
Breathe. Scoop. Beat the mermel. And repeat.
She moved steadily forward, dancing the three steps of her entire existence.
At the end of the run, Mara flipped over her hands out the scything tunnel entrance, landing in a crouch on the engineering yard floor. Not a necessary maneuver, but sometimes she'd just like to impress the other rats. Mara squinted up. The steady, bright light in the bay was almost blinding after the dim blue flickering in the tunnel.
Check in!
Barked the foreman, wrenching her upright by her ear. He wasn't impressed by her stylish exit. Mara winced.
Hey, that ear's still attached. 4, 4, 5. Sir!
Way out!
He threw her head towards the weight station. He was a big man, and while Mara was getting tall, she was not yet half his size in pure mass. His throw gave her a good start motion-wise and wrenched her neck as a kindly afterthought. She dashed over, all her limbs loose and comfortable now that she hadn't blades to worry about. She unwound the mermel from her neck. The furry blue creature's stomach was distended, full of crud. She cradled him against her chest. He reached one long, fuzzy arm up and pawed at her cheek affectionately.
Stop flirting, you.
She pushed his paw away. She wanted to scratch the head of the silly roly-poly beastie, but it wouldn't do to be thought soft-hearted. Everyone was looking, and all the other rats wanted to know what her run was worth. She plonked the mermel onto the weight scale. Black numbers scrolled across its readout. Foreman ambled over and noted the weight on his scan pad.
16 pips more than last time, 445. But your time was off by 13 ticks. Still faster than any other rat this shift by...
He paused and checked the pad.
2 ticks. And heavier by 3 pips. Never mess with your pay rate, do you?
Mara didn't answer, busying herself about the scale. She fussed over the mermel and tried not to grin in pride. Foreman grabbed her arm and yanked her towards him. His breath smelled of stale protein packs and caffeine tabs.
Someone'll cut you down to size, one spin, girl. You're getting sloppy.
Did he hear the knee down?
Mara tried not to cringe. Foreman didn't like it when they flinched. Curled comfortably on the weighing scale, her mermel lifted his blue head and belched. The acrid smell of partially digested crud wafted up. Mara huffed air out through her nostrils and the foreman backed away. Processed crud was toxic. The mermel twitched his whiskers at them both. Foreman continued.
That's poor numbers for you, 445. Very poor indeed.
Sir!
Mara gasped. She was truly hurt by such a comment. She'd sooner take a blow than a mocking of her run. She was prideful of her work.
It's not like I got aught else to do well.
She bit her lip to keep from talking back.
He'll seize any chance to obedience me rough or pull my license just because.
The mermel squeaked, a soft sound from the blue beastie. Everyone standing around watching hopped too. Quiet sounds from mermels meant important business. They meant something might really be wrong. The foreman let Mara go so she could look to the creature. No one else could touch him without losing a digit or more. Mermels didn't take kindly to handling by any but their chosen runner. She lifted the little animal and went to place him with his brethren. His squeak had obviously been meant to get her away from Foreman, and wasn't a noise of real distress. She scratched him under the chin in thanks.
Losing your step or your speed, Mara?
asked one of the other rats smugly.
Shut your face, Gurr.
Rhys elbowed the boy in the side. Mara nodded to Rhys without comment. Half her size and two-thirds her age, Rhys liked to play the noble gallant.
Who am I to clog his fun?
Rhys made a little bow. He fancied himself some long-lost lordling fated to sit parliament.
I come from progenitor stock,
he always said, though he didn't look to have a single tinker trait.
Leastways, not any visible ones.
Nevertheless, he'd opted Mara as the victim of his court flattery, using her to train himself up in proper etiquette. He said it was for...
when they find me and take me back.
All ciphers lived with that hope at first.
The sum total of pinky wishes.
3 turns in, his hair gone to blue, his skin no longer quite pink, and Rhys still wouldn't space that fantasy. Mara dropped her mermel to the floor. The little creature muttered reproachfully. It could be he was greedy for more crud, or could be he wanted to stay with her. Then again, could be he was just grumpy. One never could tell with mermels. She pushed him gently away with one bare foot.
Settle,
she said, giving him the home command. He skittered off to a nearby air duct. Inside, the other tame mermels eyed him suspiciously, pretending they didn't remember who he was. 1 or 2 sashayed over, blue tails lashing threateningly. Mara's mermel, alpha of the pack, reared up and shrieked at them at the top of his lungs until they all sat and stared, like progenitor children before a teaching drone. Then he curled up in a corner and went to sleep. Among mermels, alpha seemed to be established by one who could yell loudest. Mara took a deep, calming breath and turned back to collect her pay. The foreman looked her up and down, his expression disgusted and his scrutiny more pointed than usual. Mara glared at him from narrowed silver eyes. Triggered eyes. She could read it in his face, him noting all her failures.
I ain't not but crud rat. Blue hair from too much tunnel time and skin likely to go blue soon, too, if I keep at it much longer.
She straightened her back and looked him full on.
What of it? Say you've got a citizenship implant and I don't. 5 turns scraping the blades and never a single cut. Not one. You can stick that in your implant and process it, foreman. I know some rats who've lost limbs. Space it. I know rats who've lost lives.
Foreman didn't like it when they stood up to him, even if they didn't say a whit. To him, Mara was nothing more than a scab of society. Space jetsam, non-citizen. Cipher. His expression said it all. She was a waste of air.
How much you weigh these ticks, 445?
Mara knew what he was thinking. There's always more cipher kids to be got at, small and nimble enough to crud rat. Heavy runners, on the flip side, dent the tunnel, and tall ones die on the blades. Mara was turning both heavy and tall, and getting cocky. Why gamble on her anymore? Numbers, always on Mara's side until now, were starting to weigh in against her.
Whatever else my genetic stock, and surely I've got the weirdest eyes going. I've been tinkered tall.
For months she'd been starving herself down trying to battle adulthood. Not that crud rats ate well to start. But bone weighed what it weighed, no matter how little she ate. Not to mention the fact that tunnel running had built up her muscle, and muscle marked in heavy.
Don't know my weight, sir.
You've been running my tunnels how long?
Foreman narrowed his eyes.
5 turns, sir.
The foreman looked genuinely surprised at that. Well, everyone knew time flew on a spaceport.
You must be on borrowed ticks by now.
Don't know, sir.
That was what all rats answered to that kind of question.
How are we supposed to know age when we all started out abandoned dockside?
No family Mara ever heard of wanted to raise up a cipher. Earliest she remembered was begging for food in the cross-genitor arena. The shops all about her stocked full, and them that noticed her more like to spit than drop a single ration cube into her empty hands. That kind of thing soured a soul. She'd started running tunnels as soon as maybe. Not the Scythers, she'd been too young for blades, but training for Scythers. Climbing, flipping, jumping, over, under, straight up walls. She'd even gone so far as to study mermels, feeding the wild ones now and again, sourcing out their litter areas. If crud ratting was all ciphers could do, Mara intended to be best at it. Until now, she had been.
Crud rats, all I'd be good for,
she said, almost in a whisper. Dread sloshed in her stomach and hardened in the back of her throat.
5 cycles.
Foreman frowned in thought.
I wouldn't have put you on a run if you couldn't lift a mermal. You must have been at least 7 to launch.
Mara held her tongue. He looked her up and down once more.
Time you started thinking about some other line of work.
Mara felt as though a blade had sliced right into her gut. It stuck there, lodged below her ribs.
It ends so quick as that. But, sir, I didn't make a mistake.
She waved her hand at the other Crudrats. Some of them had cuts from their runs. Hoik had a wide, deep gash over one eye.
Yeah, he's smaller and lighter, but he's still cut. I'd be clean as new blades.
Mara tried not to care that Gurr and a few of his pack were openly grinning. Reese looked like he wanted to cry. His blue head was bowed. Tufts of his crazy matted hair stuck up, looking like one of those exotic growing things down planetside.
What are they called? Oh, yeah. Pants.
The foreman backhanded Mara. He moved slower than a blade, but she hadn't known it was coming, so she didn't dodge. The inside of her cheek split open against a tooth, and she tasted blood.
It's my job to see that you're stopped before your mistakes start damaging my livelihood. Can't risk a scyther for your kind. Besides, it's always the best rats that die on the blades, or bust through the walls. I don't need that kind of mess.
Mara swallowed down both blood and backtalk. Neither would do her any profit now. With no ceremony at all, the foreman pulled out a burn blade and melted the cord from about Mara's neck. He slid her licensing chip off its end, large, meaty fingers clutching her whole existence. The cord fell to the floor, a small, sad coil of a thing. Mara watched as he slotted the license into a pocket of his waistcoat. What little recognition she'd had from guards was gone.
Cipher that can't run without Crudrat status. As not more than a vagrant.
Armagers, Port Authority, progenitors, sequencers, enhancers, all that rode the wheel, center and rank at its height, they'd be looking for any excuse to space her now.
They'll be finding it, too.
In space, non-citizens, wasted air.